Once again, it's a joy to be here. I appreciate your hospitality, your generosity, and your willingness to come and listen to us. It's a great joy for me to be here. And I appreciate the opportunity one more time this side of eternity to speak to you. One of my favorite subjects in all the Word of God is talked about. Paul writes about a lot about it, I think, and I know he encouraged Titus about it. It was a very important subject to Paul, and should be for us also. Jesus is coming again. We don't know when, and we probably don't want to know when. He tells us just keep looking. There's a lot of space devoted to it, a lot of verses in the scriptures. I understand that there are 7,959 verses in the Bible. And 1 out of 25 of them has to do with some aspect of the coming of the Lord Jesus. It may be speaking about the post-millennial coming. It may be talking about the post-tribulation coming. Or it may be talking about the pre-tribulation coming. I am a preacher and believer in the pre-tribulation coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the greatest event, I believe, yet to be experienced by any believer in Christ. There's no event in your life that's greater. Would it be a marriage anniversary or a birthday, whatever? There's nothing more important to you and I than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look at some of the facts concerning his coming tonight. Let's go and read our text in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men," or all kinds of men, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." He didn't say it's the law that teaches us. The grace of God teaches us that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we know, you know, he tells us how we're supposed to live. And then he said, looking, while we're doing that, we're to be looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, as we've been studying all week, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. What a great blessing it is tonight to think about the fact that Jesus is coming again. And we don't have to look for Antichrist, We don't have to wait for the great tribulation, the 7-year tribulation period, to end. We're not going to be a part of that. No, I don't believe so. Christ declared it himself. First of all, in Matthew 24, he talks about, I believe the post-tribulation will come. He says in verse 30, chapter 24. Well, let's go back to verse 27. 24 and 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. And listen to the rest of this verse. That's very important. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He's not talking about the rapture. The angels are not going to gather together from one end of from heaven to the other. They're going to, and the rapture takes place, they're going to gather us from the earth. Huh? Yeah. So, remember that. Yeah. That's after the tribulation period, I believe, that he's talking about here. In chapter 25, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Think about that. Why do we call the good part of our government the right, and the bad part of our government the left? I don't know if they're all goats or not, but... Yeah. He divides the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And in verse 41, he said, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, some folks got the idea that they ain't supposed to be there. Nobody there but the devil and his angels. That God made it just for the devil and his angels. Nobody else ought to be there. They know nothing about the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of election. They don't know anything about that. Because God has predestinated the reprobate to be there with the devil and his angels. And then the last time that he speaks with his church is in John chapter 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm not lying to you. This is fact. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yeah. Okay. He's coming again. And whether you believe it or not, don't make any difference. He's coming again. And he ain't going to tarry. He's going to come right when God, you know, determined for him to be here. Yeah. And then There's the fact of the two men in white apparel that stood by the grave, the sepulcher. Oh, well, no, I'm sorry about that. When the Lord ascended unto glory to be at the right hand of majesty on high, in Acts chapter 1, there were, well, they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. I believe these were men who could tell the truth. Yeah. They were in white apparel. Were they angels? I don't know. The Bible says it was men. But I don't know. It could have been men. Probably was. May have been men that had been into glory with God. I don't know. But these two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven?" Yeah. What are you standing here for? Yeah. He's gone away. Yeah. This same Jesus. Not another one. There won't be another one. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And that's why, you know, they saw him go up in a cloud. The cloud received him out of their sight in verse 9. And that's why when you're driving around and you see a little cloud out there in a clear blue sky like we did a while ago when we were going to lunch or dinner, as we say in Texas. We can say that cloud could be the very one. That cloud could be the chariot that's going to bring my Lord back to me and get me and take me away to be with him. Those little clouds are encouraging. If you think about it enough, it's encouraging to a child of God when they see a little cloud like that. It could be the Lord coming back after me. Yeah. What greater thought could you have? You know, old brother Job, he was absolutely sure that he was coming back. Turn over with me to Job 19. Job chapter 19. Oh, he says in verse 23, "Oh, that my words were written, that they were printed in a book, that they were engraven with an iron pen and lead in a rock forever." Well, part of that's happened. Yeah. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my heart or my reins be consumed within me." I can just kind of imagine how he felt. He said, "I know. When I see my Lord Jesus face to face and look upon him, it's just going, like, my heart's going to explode. I won't be able to stand it. It's going to be so great." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Everybody else had failed him, it seemed like. His friends had failed him. You know, his family had failed him. His wife said, "Won't you just curse God and die?" She knew what had happened to him if he did. God would take him out. But he wasn't ready for that. He still had a testimony to make for God. Yeah? His heart would be consumed within him. The Apostle James held firmly to the fact that he would come again. Yeah. In James chapter 5, James chapter 5, he's talking about patience, how we ought to have a lot of patience. Boy, we're kind of short on that, ain't we, a lot of times. When we ought to be strong in patience, we come up short. But he says in verse 8 of chapter 5, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." He was expecting to see the Lord. He's coming. We don't know when, but he's coming. I may not make it back to Texas. Yeah? That'd be okay. Texas is great, and I love Texas, but I'm going to love being with my Lord Jesus better than Texas, better than Kentucky. As great as y'all have treated me, I'm so rotten. Well, be patient. Establish your heart. Because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had a lot more to say about it than anybody else. Maybe except the Lord Jesus, but as an apostle, as a prophet of God, he had, I believe, more to say about it than anybody else. And what he had to say about it was so encouraging, so comforting, so edifying for the children of God. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 50 he says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Now when the Apostle Paul says something like that, where he says, "This I say," you know, that does not mean these are not inspired words. That doesn't mean that he's, "Well, Lord, you just let us sit down here and behave yourself, and I'm going to tell these folks something." No. This is inspired. He was a holy man, sent with holy words, pure words, yeah, to guide us and teach us. "This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold," there's that precious word again, "behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Notice the pronouns that he uses as he writes to these dear brethren in Corinth. "We." That includes me and you. "We." Yeah. "We shall not all sleep." Yeah. "We're not all going to die," he says. "But we shall all be changed." Come right on in, neighbor. "We shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that by his amazing grace. Amazing grace. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. But that's not the only place that he talks about it, that he writes about it. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," we, there that pronoun is again, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to go before them. No, we're all going at the same time. That's what he says. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The Lord himself is coming. He's not going to send Gabriel after you. He's not going to send Paul after you, or Peter, or John, or James. He's coming himself to get you. Yeah. He's coming from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God shall, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brother, if that won't comfort you, I don't know what will. I don't have any words to tell you to comfort you. As long as you're a believer in Christ Jesus. Those we's in there, we're dead in Christ. We're dead in Christ because Christ died and rose again. But we're not dead yet. We may be when he comes again. But that'll be okay with me. I'm not afraid of that grave out there. I've got it reserved over in Skyview for me and Mama. It's reserved. And I ain't afraid of it. It ain't got no fear of me. I mean, I have no fear of it because Jesus is coming again. If that's where I am, he'll come get me. He said he would. You know? Philippians chapter 3. All precious words this dear brother writes for us in Philippians 3. He says in verse 20, "For our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body." Did you know you had a vile body? Oh, you do. "That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue him, all things to himself." All things. Sheep and the goats. He can subdue all of them. Bring them to himself. Separate them. Yeah. As a shepherd. Our great shepherd. Yeah. And then finally, in the writings of the Apostle Paul, at least I believe it is, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, I believe. Yes. Chapter 10, in the book of Hebrews, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Be confident. This is the truth. He's coming again. Which hath great recompense of reward. I don't know what kind of reward there is waiting for us. Some of us may be rewarded more than others. I don't know. That's up to God. That's His business, not mine. Yeah. For we have need of patience. There we go with that word that James uses. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What is that promise? Yet a little while. Yet a little while. Not a million years. Though it could be. A million years ain't no time for God. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Those are great comforting words for those Hebrew brethren and for you and I. He will not tarry. He's coming again, brethren, sisters. He's coming after us. And we should be ready. We should be worshiping Him. We should be praising Him. We should be telling folks about Him and how great He is and that He is coming back. Yeah. Yeah. You know, although John penned John 14, he's just writing down what the Lord said. But he has an opinion too, you know, in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. There we go. 1 John chapter 3. He says in verse 2. Beloved, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the children of God or the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. He's talking about what we shall be when we see the Lord. But we know that when He shall appear, pardon me, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Brother Steve, I think you and I are going to look a whole lot better when Jesus comes. Me and you both, brother. Yeah. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. What a great promise this dear brother has. And the Apostle Peter's not silent. I mean, he doesn't have a great deal to say, but he does have a word or two in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. Well, let's back up. He's talking to pastors here, elders in the Lord's church. And he says, feed the flock of God. He had heard that before, hadn't he? He knew how important it was. Jesus had told him, feed the sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight of it therefore, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Wow. That's a promise to pastors, to preachers, to feed the sheep of God. He said, if you're true to that calling, God has a reward for you. A crown of glory. that'll not fade away. It's going to be eternal. It ain't fading away and won't go anywhere. Now then, let's wind this up. We've heard from all of these, from the Lord Jesus, from the two men or angels, from our great brother Job, the Apostle James, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, and the Apostle Peter. We have a lot concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that these men have told us about. They believed it. Why don't we believe it? Huh? I believe it. I just don't believe it as much as I ought to, as much as I want to. If I did, I'd think about it more. I'd pray about it more. I'd be looking more for the coming of the Lord Jesus in the sky. In his last communication with his church, in John 14:1-3, knows he says, I will go and prepare a place for you. He's not going to entrust this task to anybody else. He said, I'm going to do this myself. You can trust me. I'm going to do it myself. And if I do, I'll come back and get you where you be with me. Yeah. I will come again. He's not going to send for us. Verse 25-29 of John 14. John 14. Let's just turn right back there. Verse 25. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it does come to pass, you might believe. Yeah. Did he know that some of those dear brethren didn't understand what he was talking about? He goes back and goes over it again. Oh, what a mercy we have in the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And the last words that he uttered. Well, before we go to there, let's go to chapter 16. Yeah. Jesus said in verse 31, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I will not be alone, because the Father's with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yeah. In chapter 16 and verse 4, he says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? He had already told him where he was going. In chapter 14. Yeah. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Yeah. And John, as he finished writing the last book of the Bible, in chapter 22 of Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 22 and verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. You believe that? That don't mean he's coming right away to them. Then, to John, that's not what John thought he meant. He knew that when the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, it's going to be quick. He ain't going to take no week to get here. When the Father sends him this time, he's not going to go through the virgin womb of Mary again. He's already done that. When he comes again, he's coming in a glorified body. And it'll be quick. Faster than the asteroids can travel. Faster than the spaceships can travel. And they travel pretty fast. Almost fast as a new Chevrolet, I understand. That's what we used to say in 1957, you know. But he will come fast. I come quickly. Amen. And then John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's what we need to be saying. Even so come, Lord Jesus. May God be pleased to bless you and stir up your heart to trust him more if you know him. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you know nothing about the coming of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean anything to you. But if you've been saved by the grace of God and washed in the precious blood, oh, how precious this thought is that Jesus is coming again. May God be pleased to bless your heart tonight. Thank you for the visitors that we have. Appreciate y'all coming by and visiting with us. God bless you. I love every one of you so much. And the ones that are not here, tell them that old preacher from Texas loves y'all so much. It just near bring tears to my eyes to think about it and wish they was here that we might encourage them along the way. God bless you, Pastor. We love you, praise you, thank you for asking me to come.